Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, Chavarim. Shalom, Talmudim. Shalom, my associate. Shalom, fellow disciples right here, here, here. Here we are at the first day service here. This is the eve, actually. The time, you know, according to the true time of Yahuwah, the true time, you know, actually the night precedes the principles that the night precedes the day. We learned that from Genesis, but also on the Friday evening, you know, that's the beginning of the Shabbat time, really the preparation for the day to come. So right here at the eve, right here, 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 we still have the Brit Chadasha. Brit Chadasha, the renewed covenant, new covenant reading and feeding here. Very interesting Torah reading and feeding. When thou lightest up, KJV, or when thou steppest up. When thou steppest up, right? When thou step up to light up. You know, the lights, the lights, the lights. Ha menorah, ha menorah. But first word right here for the first day, let's chant a psalm. Psalm 24 is the appointed psalm from the ancient days, you know, in the tabernacle, according to the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, true church and the professing church from ancient times, up to 74, 75, you know, because people might say, oh, you're talking about the Ethiopian church and look at it today. No, there is, you know, the leaven. Remember the parable about the leaven? Get into that right there, there, there. But here, 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 rise up.
Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah, 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 Selah.
Kadamawi, Kadamawi. Inflatia!
The whole place is due
for... L'Shem Yeshua, L'Shem Yeshua, Yesu's name, Isis, Isis, Isis. Yahweh, it's about Jah's way, teaching of his majesty, real Rastaman. Yes, sir. Here, here, a little classic.
Oh. International is a mystic and a mystic real is natural. Lucian, all the culture
I'm
official.
I'm a true Rastaman, treading creation. A real Rastaman, a full real Japan. A true Rastaman, no giant and wagon.
Never passing.
I believe it is my Rastaman, I'm in love only time. What the
hell? Well, let's see. Well, me put on me gangali boot and me tighten the lace. I ready to go stand up in a place. The one them we only got weight and take up space. Disgrace to the human race. Well, a long time me a watch them all a mock and all a cheer. A long time me a watch them all a curse and all a fear. A long time them a tell me Rasta na reach to here. Yet everywhere them go them hear Rasta was fear. That means the Rasta pass through a left with them fear. How them the earth the lion when lion and a fear. No braid of the eagle juggle neither fear. Cause anything cause lion fall well.
On this occasion, I address also all those within our empire. Our Christianity is not restricted to a given church, and I stress above all that we do not wish to make distinctions. My advice to all is to fulfill the Ten Commandments. You are aware of the contents of the Ten Commandments and can elaborate on it. If the nation for which I am the emperor follows and accepts this, since it's also what I accept and follow, I would believe our country is not only historically Christian, but also actively Christian. My advice to all is to fulfill the Ten Commandments.
From the God of his salvation, yeah. Yeah. This is a generation of them that feed thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your head, ye gates, and let the kings of glory come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord mighty, mighty in battle. Lift up thy gates, and let the King of glory come in. Yeah. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. We hear that dwells therein, yeah. For he has found it up on the sea and established it up on the flood. Who shall ascend unto the hills of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that have cleansed and have pure enough, who are not lifted up his souls unto vanity, nor sow deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from his Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Yeah. Who have eyes to see, let them see. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither envious against the workers of iniquity. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, yeah. For he that found it up on the sea and established it up on the flood. Who shall ascend unto the hills of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that have clean hands and a pure heart, who are not lifted up his souls unto vanity, nor so deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Lift up thy everlasting door and let the King of glory come in. Yeah. Down inside the stone was a rolling in a Babylon. A black, black stone was rolling in a Babylon. Daniel saw the stone, yeah. Daniel saw the stone was a rolling in a Babylon. Daniel saw the stone, black, black stone, yeah. The earth is a lot and the fullness thereof, with ear that dwell therein. For he had found it up on the sea and established it up on the flood.
Keep us the teachings of his majesty, for we no one, no devil.
I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory, and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me, and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet, and of the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than bellowed. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came, the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the ten horns after this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times for the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion, and the greatness of the kingdom unto the whole heaven, shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitation much troubled me, and my countenance changed it. But I kept the matter in my heart.
Today, Haile Selassie is courted by all the world. At his anniversary reception, the representatives of 100 nations came to salute the authority of this tiny old man. He was probably the first African leader to be treated by white men as an equal, and the first to be sacrificed by them in the name of appeasement. He's learned to trust nobody, except perhaps his dog, and yet he's won the respect of the world. For there's no man alive today whose life has spanned so much. Now, in his old age, he's practically the incarnation of the history of our time. Time began for Haile Selassie in this remote corner of the Horn of Africa in 1892. In London, Queen Victoria had celebrated her golden jubilee. In Africa, the colonial powers were carving up the continent. But the world Haile Selassie was to grow up to had not been dreamed of. He was born in a thatched hut and christened Tafari Makonnen. And though he was of Ethiopia's royal blood, his childhood on these hillsides was as carefree as childhood should be. Ethiopia to the world then was not much more than an African fairy tale. In European romance, it was the land of King Solomon's mines, Prester John and the Queen of Sheba, the place called Abyssinia, where the tribe of the Habashan was supposed to live. Only a handful of foreigners had reached its interior and found among its mountains the source of the Blue Nile. The rest was as dark as anything in darkest Africa, hidden by giant mountains from the deadly curiosity of the world. But Europe's romance was Ethiopia's living history. There was a rich empire here when most of Europe was in darkness 2,000 years ago. Its ruins still stand at Aksum, its first capital. And the title of its first rulers, King of Kings, is that of Haile Selassie today. The empire's history since then is a rich confusion of fact and legend. There are still 50,000 people like these in Ethiopia who call themselves Jews of the House of Israel and claim descent from the first Jews out of Arabia 3,000 years ago. They observe the Jewish Sabbath and mark their pottery with the Star of David. Like Haile Selassie's imperial crest, the star crowns the Lion of Judah, the central Ethiopian symbol. Begotten from Sheba, who bore a son to King Solomon, and called him Menelik, the first Ethiopian emperor. But the central tradition of Ethiopia is Christianity. Long before most of Europe was converted, the empire was a pillar of Christendom.
Lion of Judah shall break every chain.
The 225th emperor, claiming direct descent from Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. He is the King of Kings, the Lion of Judah. The name Haile Selassie means power of the Trinity, and it's in the Church of the Holy Trinity in Addis Ababa that the Emperor attends a Maundy Thursday service. His Imperial Highness Merid Asfar Worsen, Crown Prince of Ethiopia and heir to the throne, is also present. Theophilos, Archbishop of Harar, officiates. As the imperial princesses look on, the Archbishop consecrates the holy water by touching it with his cross. Feet have been bared, the Archbishop washes them and those of the Crown Prince, a reminder of the washing of the Apostles' feet by Christ. Lower-ranking personages, such as the princesses and court officials, only have their hands washed. On Easter Saturday, the gardens of the Imperial Palace provide the setting for a solemn procession of priests and deacons. Richly jeweled processional crowns and gaily colored umbrellas accompany the bundle of sticks, which are reminders of the scourging of Christ. The ribbons worn on the forehead symbolize the crown of thorns. On the palace steps, members of the government and the court await the appearance of the emperor. Which is traditionally performed on Easter Saturday, is an expression of the church's joy as Christ descends into hell to triumph over evil for the redemption of the world.
Lord of all lords, conquering lion of the tribe of Judah, Elect of himself, my tent and the rebel exhibit a massacre on Yahweh, the goose and the gods, let Jah be praised.
Malcolm Hood, blessed, beautifully good first day right here, first day service, aka Sunday service. We have the Brit Chadasha, but first this, purify your hearts. Like the Psalm 24, Niki Kapayimu Bada the Bob, clean hands, a pure heart. Johnny Osborne, classic right here, yeah. Church of the firstborn. Yes, God. Church of the firstborn. Yes, God.
branches and chanting in mighty volume.
Hosanna, blessed be the King of Israel. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord.
Apostle Paul meant the statement, faith works by love.
Ye Kiddus Paulus yalo yetasasata qal aydellem.
What St. Paul said here is not a mistaken statement. You all know what St. Paul was and what kind of work he was engaged in before his conversion. Later on, after his conversion, he had faith and love. And if he had not had that, he would not have taught people this in his epistles. Neither love nor faith are separable from each other. An elaboration of this is Paul's exposition in one of his epistles, which speaks of love and faith. Without love, all of our human efforts in the sight of God can be useless. He loved us. And on our behalf, he was given as a ransom, and it was because of love and his love for us that he accomplished the act of love.
Like mountains on above Jerusalem.
You to catch in color.
Wah! Stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit Hadash Aliyot. Aliyot, 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 Aliyot.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Asher Natan Lanu Moshiach Yeshua Wehabarot Shel Habarit Ha Hadasha. Baruch Ata Adonai Notain Habarit Ha Hadasha. Blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe, who gave to us the Messiah, Jesus, and the commandments of the new covenant. Blessed are you, Lord, giver of the new covenant.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. What does Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Achad, hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. What does that really mean? And why is it important, 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 important?
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
The Brit Chadasha, Chadish Kidan, Renewed Covenant Reading for RSS number 36. Be'ha'alotika, when thou ascend, from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6 through 13, and Revelation chapter 11, verse 1 through 19. We begin, B'shem ha'ab, ve'habein, ve'ruach ha'kadosh, Yahuwah ahad, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he who be, who he be, the one. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6, Wow, verse 7, Zain, verse 8, Chet, verse 9, Tate, verse 10, Yod, verse 11, Yod Aleph. We call Zot Haita Lanu Lemofet Libilti Hitawot La Ra'a Kasher Hitawu Gam Hema Velot Hiu Obde Elilim Kasher Hayu Miktatam Kimo Shekatub Wayisheb Ha'am Le'akol Weshatu Wayakumu Letzachek ולא נהיה זונים כאשר זנו מקצתם ויפלו ביום אחד שלושה ועשרים אלף איש ולא ננסה את יהוה כאשר ניסוהו מקצתם ויעבדום הנחשים גם לא הלינו כאשר הלינו מקצתם וימותו ביד המשיחית כל זאת מצעתם להיות למופת ותכתב למוסר לנו אשר הגיעו עלינו קצה עולמים. Now these things were examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Mashiach, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them, for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But Elohim is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Revelation chapter 11, the times of the Gentiles to end in 42 months. Verse 1, Aleph. Verse 2, Beit. Verse 3, Gimel. Verse 4, Dalet. Why ye not seen li kane wehu kemate? Vayamod Hamalak Vayomer Kum Umod et Hekal Yahuwah Weet Hamizbeach Weet Hamishtachawim Bo Wehe Chatzir Asher Michutz La Hekal Ota Ntosh Weal Timudena Ki Lagoyim Nitana Weramsu et Ir Hakodesh Arbaim Ushnaim Chadashim Ve Natati Lishne Edai Ve Nibau Yamim Elef Umataim Veshishim Vehem Mitkasim Pasakim Elehem Shne Hazetim Ushte Hamenorot Haomdim Lifne Elohe Haaretz. And there was given me a reed, like to a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of Elohim, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court that is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given to the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. The two witnesses to prophesy 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before Elohim of the whole earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters, to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, that spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also Adonainu, our Lord, was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from Elohim entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them that saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying to them, Come hither. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. The second woe. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to Elohim of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. End of the second parenthetical passage. The trumpet judgments resume. The seventh trumpet. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of Adonainu, our Lord, and of his Christ, Mashiach, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders that sat before Elohim on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped Elohim, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God the Almighty, Yahweh Elohim Tzevaot, that art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward to thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them that destroy the earth. And the temple of Elohim was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings, and voices, and thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail. Kabrulakalu, Kabruladimtu, Kabrulakhailu, Kabrulakedamawi, Haile Selassie, Beyesus Christos Sim. Glory to word, glory to sound, glory to power. Glory to Abinu, Melkenu, our Father, our King, the first power of the Trinity, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Yes, I, Rastafari.
Hashem Yeshua HaMoshiach, in the name of Adonai, Yeshua I HaMoshiach, I, glory be the King, Kadamah HaSalasi, yes I, Rastafari, 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 we have fulfilled all, praise be to Mesken, Exiavi Yemesken, Jesus Christos, Jesus Christos, Jesus Christos,
come Israel praise his holy name. O righteous people now, yeah. Yeah.
When you step up to light the lights, keep the light lit, keep your light shining. Bamarinyan Amharic, the King of Kings Bible, the Senvet Sitalequis, focusing on the idea of lighting up. The Hebrew is kind of interesting because it's both when you step up to light, and also when you light is when you cause the lights to ascend, the lights of the menorah in the holy place, in the sanctuary. So here, let's go through a little reasonment, right here. You know, when you ascend, we can also interpret this elotica, like the aliyah, the going up. But here, just a little clip of this Rhema tune before we get into more of a synopsis, a build on this 36 sabbatical here on the first day, for the first day service, right here. Well, this is Majesty to I and I to go and to preach.
They always sing to him songs of praise.
True teaching.
In which our Lord himself gave the command to go to all the world and to preach. Is also of high value.
Go forward to preach. The first one must receive, and the molding, you know, molding I and I, growing in grace, that word from the scripts, from his glory, growing in grace and in knowledge here. Don't forget about the Levite, right? I, Jaman Levi, right here, molding, forming, heart.
Yeah.
yes, yes, brothers and sisters right there, the full of fullness right there, molding. I Jaman Levi right there. Very interesting tabernacle music, the full, you know, full music right there. You know, both the Selah moments, the instrumental portions, the meditate and reflect. I know I was not going to play the full of that right there, but it's a good thing because the Medi came true. You know, about the spirituality. You know, we have the shadows and types in the tabernacle. We can see, hopefully we can see those clearly. You know, as it says that the old covenant is like the shadow and the Brit Chadasha, you know, the substance, even in Adonainu Yeshua HaMoshiach. Interesting that even in the molding there has a lot to do with like the agricultural examples, the seed and the ground. And this was meditating on, you know, if you can receive, you know, the spirituality of agriculture, you know, the spirituality in the agriculture. In the tabernacle, it might be more easily seen or, you know, manifest, but just the ground of the matter. Here we have Psalm 24, the earth is Yahuwah's and all of her fullness, the world and they who dwell in her. But here for this 36 right here, I'd like to bring out a synopsis, an overview right here. There's a segue right here. Yes, I, Shema, yes, I am. Right there, the earth needs some. Yes. I Jaman Levi right there with molding. Interesting, even that tune right there, how it's in tune. The tune is in tune with the season, even the harvest season. The earth, she needs some molding, you know, and fruit, bringing forth that fruit, both in the two truth sense, in the earthly type, in the natural type, in the irritical, and the spiritual type. So here we have the 36th sabbatical study for this Shabbat Strong. Here we are in Shabbat, Beha Elotika. So we're going to review, because much of the Torah reading and feedings, they kind of dove, you know, with the previous. So even in moving forward, it's good to reflect on the previous reasoning, the previous teaching, the previous direction, instruction. It's building, all right? So we're building right here. We are also, in that sense, turning up the soil of the ground, even that ground of being. So here with the 36th sabbatical study here, the third reading from the fourth book of Moses, of Moshe, known as Bamidbar in the wilderness, but called the Book of Numbers, Hebraically, the Sefer Bamidbar, in the Midbar, in the wilderness. Here we have Beha Elotika. When you set up, one way of saying is when you set up, right, when you step up, I think in the KJV it has when you step up. Let's go here to compare and to contrast right here. So picking up the first part of the reading right here in Numbers chapter 8 at the first verse. So this Torah reading and feeding, it constitutes Numbers chapter 8, verse 1 to chapter 12, verse 16. 8 and 1 right here, we have right here, chapter 8, the order of the host. Now the host, the word for host, in the singular sense, in the Hebrew, is tzeba. Modern Hebrew, they'll say tzava. Now, here, this is often equated with armies in a plural sense. So we have tzebaot, right? Somebody say sabaot, well, tzebaot. The tzeba is like a host. For example, here in the camp, in the wilderness, there are two main hosts. There's the rank and file Israelites, and particularly those of the pedigree that is in the number of those who can go forth to war, as we have from the beginning of the book of Numbers. And then secondarily, we have the Levites, Halloween, and they are that host, but they serve in the sanctuary, in the holy place, right? And that is their service. So we have the service of those 20 years and up, right, of the pedigree. That would be in, we say, Ja'army. And then we have the priests that serve in the sanctuary. But here, picking up the order of the host, the 15th item is the lamps and the lampstand. There's a very important note, because you'll probably find in the King James versions and other versions, it will say candlesticks. And true, if we even want to simulate, you know, that sense, even today, even as a teaching type, we might use, you know, the candles today. But as we read carefully, we study, we recognize that the lampstand, according to HaTorah, was not powered by wax. It was powered by oil, and the oil is a significance. The oil has a significance both in the earthly or the natural type, the physical type, as well as in the metaphysical type, right here, here, here. So here we pick up here, and the word here is, let's see, it says, speak to Aaron and say to him, when thou lightest. So here the phrase, when thou lightest the lamp. So one will say, well, you say over here when you step up or when you set up, right, or when you go up. But over here in the KJV, it says, when thou lightest up. Well, it has to do with getting to the root and getting to the Meseretawi Kwankwa, as His Majesty the King of Kings, Haile Selassie, says, Hebrew, the foundational language. We see B-Ha-Elotika. Ha-Elotika, which is a direct saying to a singular male, is saying when you male Aliyah, when you Allah, Aliyah, when you go up, B-Ha-Elotika, when you go up. Now, this has a twofold sense. One, it can have a physical sense, the Allah, the Aliyah, that going up. For example, three times in a year shall all the males called Zakar of the Bnei Yisrael appear in the place they will go up in the Aliyah to Yerushalayim, to Zion, right, to Zion, and then to Yerushalayim three times a year. So that going up to the feast, the festival, that's one Aliyah. Returning out of captivity to the land, that is another Aliyah, right? Going up to read, say, in the Hebrew, we say church, the gathering, to read HaTorah as Robeinu, Yeshua HaMashiach, did even in Luke's Gospel when he went up to read. That's also an Aliyah, right? So this is just to show the word in its many applications. Here, it's when you go up to light the lights. And also it is speaking of when the light, we say the light itself is lit, the light itself goes up. So it's a kind of a twofold sense. So there's one sense of the ha'elotika, which is you actually, you male, going up, and also b'ha'elotika, when you go up to cause the light to go up. So it's instruction, direction here to ha'moshiach. Actually, right here, we have direction to the Messiah, to the Hebrew Messiah. We say the Hebrew Christ in the wilderness. Speaking of Aharon, Aaron is the one who is the high priest. Aaron is also the one who is the anointed. And his sons, the priests, and here in this context here, he has his two remaining sons, Yitamar and Eleazar and Yitamar. The two other sons, as we know, with the strange fire, they got that burn notice, and they're no longer, speaking of Nadab and Abihu. So here, this is not saying to Aharon and to his sons, but here it says, and Yahuwah spake to Moshe, Lamor, saying, speak to Aharon, to Aaron, and say to him. So this here is speaking to, we could say, the Moshiach, we say the Messiah, the one who is anointed for that service. This is why in the New Covenant scripture, especially in the Epistle to the Hebrews, we see where the likeness is being made of Yeshua HaNotri, Jesus of Nazareth, and Aharon and Aaron, and the priest type, and in particular the high priest type. So here it says, speak to Aharon and say to him, Beha Elotika, when thou lightest, when thou goest up to light the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light over against the candlestick. This is literally what the KJV says. Here, for better clarity, as we study to show ourselves approved, the more operative word would not be candlesticks. Yes, we understand the history of the time, and we're not even inferring any intentional, willful, you know, deception. We don't see that there, so we're not laying a charge. What we're saying here is for better understanding for I and I, Mo better is the lampstand. right? Not the candlestick and bringing in that wax kind of idea, because as we go further, we'll find what it is powered by, right? The pure oil olive, right? That pure oil olive. So that's different than what the candlestick's using wax. So this is just for context, right? So we can understand the significance of the oil in the lampstand, and also the construction of the menorah, the construction of her. I emphasize the her there because some of the items, you know, are so described in the Hebrew, bringing in that divine double helix. So we also have those seven seals in man, the seven seals in man. When we look at the candle, what's called the candlestick, the Hebrew candlestick, but more correctly the menorah, the lampstand, we also see a likeness of those seven, we could say those seven lights, that lampstand in man. With that center, the emphasis here is on that center shaft. So there's the center shaft that in the Hebrew we know as the Shamesh. Shamesh means sun, the sun, like the solar sun, the Shamesh. It is in the center, right? So it's that center one, right? Then you have the three branches on this side, as the word says, and the three branches on that side. What an interesting Hebrew spiritual sacred geometrical likeness here with the heart chakra, right? And the three seals, or the three chakras, the three seals below and the three seals above. But the key is the Shamesh, is the center. So here what is being instructed to Moses to instruct and speak to Aharon is where it says here, it says, when thou lightest the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light over against the lampstand, the seven lamps. There's an emphasis, when you read it in the Hebrew, the emphasis is on that center, how the center is the key for the three and the three. And Aaron did so and lighted the lamps over against the lampstand. Lighted the lamps over against the lampstand as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. Then it goes into a description and further direction instructions. But here, let's get an overview right here. Remember, we have today's daily psalm, Psalm 8, very interesting here in the season, as Psalm 8 also is said to be a psalm of the wine press. Some say it's a vineyard, you know, a harvest, has a harvest theme, but in particular with the vineyard, the vineyard, here in the season. But here, Finite Sabbatical Studies, and our Rastafari Sabbatical Studies, and here for this Shabbat Strong, for this Shabbat Bit Ha'elotika, let's go over a basic, a synopsis, just going over a basic synopsis right here. So the Torah synopsis here for the 36th Sabbatical Study, the third reading here in the fourth book, we refer previously for continuity purpose. In the last sabbatical, the last Shabbat, the last seven, the last strong, the Torah reading and feeding was naso. Naso, which means lift up, right? Naso et rosh, lift the head, concerning the census count. It concluded that the Israelite camp arranged around the completed Mishkan, the completed tabernacle, furnished and supplied by the contributions, the donations, from each of the 12 tribes. Moshe was inside HaMishkan, the Mishkan, the dwelling place called the tabernacle. He was listening to the voice. He was listening to the voice. He was listening to, we could say, the voice, the voca, word, sound, and power. He was listening to the voice of Yahuwah, quote, speaking to him from above the mercy seat that was on the Ark of the Testimony, from between the two Kirubim, between the two Kepraim. Hear the voice.
My advice to all is to fulfill the Ten Commandments.
Hear.
You are aware of the contents of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, elaborate on.
Yes, sir.
So,
yes, I. So, right there, the words of the King of Kings, the King Messiah, the conquering line of the tribe of Judah, advice to all is to fulfill the 10 words, the 10 commandments. So here, Moses, in the previous sabbatical study, he was inside the tabernacle, the Mishkan. He was listening to the voice of Yahuwah, Jehovah. How was he able to hear the voice of Jehovah? According to the scripts, according to Bamidbar Numbers, the previous sabbatical study, he was speaking to him. Jehovah was speaking to him from above. From where? Above the mercy seat, the Kaporet, that was on the Aron HaEdut, that was on the Ark of the Testimony, that was on the Ark of the Witness. The Ark of His Testimony, or the Ark of His Witness. Now, it's interesting here, let's note also the different names, descriptive names that are given to the Ark. Most would say, well, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant. Well, here, T to T, Testify Tuesday, you know. So right here, according to what the scripture testifies, here the name that's referred to is as the Ark of the Testimony. Now it's the same Ark, right? Well, it's the same Ark. It's the same Ark, but we also have to recognize, you know, why is it called, let's reason, why is it called here? Yes, I. Can I hear I and I? Is I being still heard? I think a call was coming in. Hold on for a moment, brothers and sisters. Yes, I hope I was being heard right there. Call. Yes, I give thanks. A call was coming true and everything like that. I have to let them know, you know. We're on the air in the Irish right here. So speaking to him from above the mercy seat that was on the Ark of the Testimony. See, this is the first name for the Ark. A lot of one, the Skylark. It's the Ark of the Covenant, Ark of the Covenant, Ark of the Covenant. You know, but don't really overstand the real narrative. We can say the real history of the Ark. Ras Ivai and the Ayabingi, love that tune right there. If you don't know the history of the Ark, you're a Skylark. But I mean, wonder whether some who say such things really know what the history of the Ark is. Right? Because we have to put this into context. It's also the Ark of the Testimony. Because what was in that box, that there is the testimony. What was in the box? What was in the Ark? What was in the Ark that you have heard or read about? The two tablets of law, right? We also find that there was the golden, you know, the pot of manna, There was also the rod of Aharon, right, that budded. And on the side of the Ark, right, was the ordinances, that book, right, that book that was written. That's interesting, right there, that was put on the side. That was what, when we get to the New Testament, you know, when it talks about, you know, destroy those ordinances that were against us, that was written. You have to remember the children of Israel, when they came into the covenant, Moshe, he wrote it down, right? And where did he put it? He put it in the side of the Ark, right? Not in the Ark, but on the side of the Ark for what? As a witness. Just for ones and ones to get this right here, let's just get the docs on this right here. We're going to get all the docs, right here on this. What are we speaking about right here? We're speaking about the Ark of the Covenant. We're speaking about why the Ark of the Covenant was called, right, as well, the Ark of the Testimony, or a little more better, the Ark of His Testimony. So right here, we have the Ark, right? It was placed, okay, the Ten Commandments, the Ten Words, was placed where? In the Ark, in Exodus chapter 40, verse 20. Also in the New Covenant Scripture, the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 4. Now there's what's called the ordinances, a.k.a. the ceremonial Torah, the ceremonial law. You have to recognize that the whole volume is HaTorah, right? But within HaTorah, there are Torot. Torot is like plural of Torah. So within the direction instruction, there are various directions, instructions. So we also have the ceremonial or the ordinances, right? So here. This here, it was placed in the side of the ark. For point of reference, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 24 to 26. Let's go there right here. Deuteronomy, right? So it says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Here a little and there a little. This is basic. This is some basic milk right here, right? Some of the milk of the word. This is just basics, right? The ark right here, 31, verse 24. And here's what it reads. Now here in Deuteronomy chapter 31, at verse 24, Moshe, he instructs Halloween, the Levites. And it came to pass when Moshe had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book. Uh-oh. Who wrote the Torah? Moses didn't write it. All these people. Yeah, okay. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 24. And it came to pass when Moshe, as it is written, according to the narrative here, when Moshe had made an end of writing the words, Hadibarim, of this law, of this Torah, in a cipher, until they were finished, that Moshe commanded Ha-Lewim, the Levites, the Lewawion, who bear the Ark of the Covenant. So here is called the Aron HaBrit, right? In what we're reading in Numbers, it's referred to as Aron HaEdut, the Ark of the Testimony. So the Levites, they bore, when it said bore, like the bier, they carried upon their shoulders. The Ark was not to be put on a wagon, but it was to carry on their shoulders. They bear the Ark of the Covenant of Yahuwah, of Jehovah, saying, take this book of HaTorah, take this book of the Torah, and put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant. So we have the 10 words, the 2 tablets, that was put in the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Testimony. Here we have this book, this cipher of the law, this book of the law, right? And put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of Yahuwah Elohim, Yol Elohim, your power. Why? That it may be there for a witness, for a what? To testify? That it may be there for a witness against thee. Verse 27, for I know thy rebellion. About to say rebel lion. Yeah, that too. I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye all have been rebellious against Yahuwah, against Jehovah. And how much more after my death? This is what Moshe is saying to them. It's like many ones who say, Rastafari, they love Kedemah and Haile Selassie, yes. But do you really have a respect, a true reverence? Or let's put it in plain KJV language, linguistics. Do you really fear him? Do you really respect him? So here, just to bring this out right here, we can clearly see, right? This is what we find later on in Colossians. Chapter 2, verse 14, was nailed to the cross. We see the ceremonial law. We see that which was placed in the side of the ark. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15, that is what was abolished by Moshiach. However, the 10 words, the 10 commandments, the Esaret HaDibarim, was not destroyed by Moshiach. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. So many Latter-day Christians, they get confused on these things, you know, and one of the reasons why they get confused on it, because they cut off the foundation, the groundation. They're not working within the pattern. You know, the 10 words, who were they written by? It was written by, with the finger of Elohim. We have this in Exodus chapter 31, 18. This book, right, that was written by Moshe in a book, 2 Chronicles 35 and 12. Right, that which was spoken by Elohim,
according to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. The ceremonial law that was written in the cipher in the book was spoken by Moshe in Leviticus chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. And the 10 words, the 10 commandments, right, is called the King's Torah. What? Huh? It's called the Royal Torah, right? And in the Book of the Seven Seals, the Royal Amharic, it brings it out as the King's Law. The Royal Law, James chapter 2, verse 8, is the King's Law. The Royal Law, that's the 10 words, that's the 10 commands. On the other hand, we have the ceremonial law that Ephesians refers to as, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15, is referred to as the law, the Torah, that was contained in ordinances. The Torah, the direction, instruction contained in ordinances. So there's a distinct difference, right? And this is why it's especially special what the conquering line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, what Ketamawi Haile Selassie, the King of Kings, the King Messiah says right here, here, here.
My advice to all, advice to all, advice to all, advice to all, is to fulfill the Ten Commandments.
So let's elaborate a little bit more here for this sabbatical study, for this Shabuah Torah, for this seven right here, here, here. Yahuwah, Jehovah first gave instruction about how Aaron, Aharon, was to light the lamps of the menorah within the sanctuary, the inner chamber of the tabernacle. The wicks, what's known as the wicks of the six outer lamps, were to be positioned so that their light projected towards the seventh or the central shaft, that which is known as the Shamesh. To get a good description of this, draw what they call a Star of David with the two triangles. Then on each of the points, the six points, draw a circle. And then in the center of the Star of David, draw another dot. From a heaven view to earth, this is the position of the original menorah. The original menorah would have been in the shape of what we would call today, if you look down on it, like looking down from the top view. It's like in the position of a Star of David. On each of the six points, right, was one of the lamps. And then in the center was the Shamesh. Now, there's a further description of how menorah, of the lampstand, that was also given, stating that it was formed according to the pattern, the tavnit, in the Hebrew we call the tavnit, right, bamrinya the abnet in the Amharic, the tavnit in the Hebrew, that's the pattern that Elohim, Ha'elohim, showed Moshe upon the mountain, Hahar. Now Moshe then gathered Ha'elohim, the Levites, together to consecrate, to fill them for their service at the tabernacle in a ceremony that signified a sort of rebirth, a sort of regeneration. Ha'elohim, the Levites, were first sprinkled with water mixed with the ashes of the red heifer known as the Para Aduma, the Para Heifer Aduma red, like the reddish-brown Adama ground, the Para Aduma. And this is what's known as the water of purification or the water of lustration. Then they shaved off all their hair and were immersed in a mikveh. Mikveh, some will say mikvah. Mikvah, a mikveh. It's a ritual bath containing flowing water. That's when you read in the scripts where it says, like, they shall wash and immerse themselves, the mikveh. The congregation, which is known as the Eda or the Edut, the Ark of the Congregation, the Ark of the Testimony, the congregation testifies. So the congregation of Yisrael was then called to the gate of the tabernacle. And the firstborn among them perform what's known as the semicha, or the semicha perform the Semika, the Semicha. What is the Semika? We have the Hebrew letter. There's the Hebrew letter known as Samech. Have you seen the hands of His Majesty? When His Majesty makes His hands in what's often referred to as a Trinity sign. But there's the way that the hand is made, right? In that Trinity sign, also, it's more of a, not pointed, but it's like, those of y'all who know the Hebrew letter Samech, you'll see immediately the likeness, the Samech. That's the sense of the laying on of hands, like as one would lay on like two hands on the head of the animal, right? Like that forms like sort of a trinity within the center, the two hands together. That's the Semika, the Semika. We know that also based on we look at the word and then the Hebrew letter Samech, the glyph. By laying their hands on the heads, on the Roshim, the Rasses, the heads of Halloween. So the firstborn among them performed the Semika by laying their hands on the Roshim, the Rasses, the heads of the Levites. Aaron then lifted each of them up as a wave offering. Yeah, literally, lifted them up, the Tanufa. So wave offerings, the Tanufa. What's interesting is that the Tanufa, the wave, the Hebrew wave offering, it perfectly matches the true church in the professing church, the true sign of the cross, what's known as the making of the sign of the cross, the four cardinal direction, the wave sign, the Tanufa. So Aaron then lifted each of them up as a wave offering or the Tanufa, Lifnei Yahuwah, before Jehovah. Finally, Halloween, the Levites laid their hands on the head of two bulls that Aaron slaughtered as a chatat, a sin, a lack, an akri offering, and a whole burnt offering given on their behalf. After all this, Halloween, the Levites, then, and only then were they ready to serve. To serve as what? As priests, but to bring it into practical application, to serve as mediators. Mediators for Ha'am, mediators for the people, mediators for Jah people. Now on Abib, the Hebrew month of Abib, the first month, also known nowadays as Nisan, on Nisan 1, Abib 1 of the year following, on the year after the Exodus, the Yetziat Mimitzrayim, when the Bnei Yisrael, the Israelites, were still camped at Sinai, Ha'elohim, Ha'elohim commanded Ha'am, the people, to observe Pesach, Passover, on the 14th day of that month, that moon, at twilight, which was the anniversary of the Exodus, and ordained it as a yearly celebration, a yearly memorial, a yearly celebration. However, on the other hand, there was a group of men, mandem, who were unable to do so because they were ritually unclean. So Yahuwah, Jehovah, he instituted what is known and can be referred to as a, quote, second chance, end quote. Jehovah instituted what is known and called a second chance to observe, a second chance to be observant. Torah observant, a second chance to observe the Seder. The Seder is the order to observe the Seder exactly 1 month, 1 moon later, on the 14th day of the second month at twilight. An interesting note in Falasha anthology, we recall reading and studying that years ago about the Beta Israel of Ethiopia, the Beta Israel of the East, where in their schedule of holy days, they also incorporated that, right, as their celebration, that second chance. In other words, in the month after, on the same day, the 14th day of the next month. So if one could not observe the Pesach, Passover, as everyone else did in Abib on the 14th day, then the next month, right, they can observe the Seder, they can observe the order. Now the portion here, the reading and feeding here, 36 sabbatical study, Biha Elotika, when you step up. The portion then repeats. We get a repetition. Right? They say that education and study basically is just about that, repetition. As they say, practice makes perfect. So stop making an excuse about the lack of perfection. The portion here repeats the events that ended the book of Exodus, describing how the Shekinah, the Shekinah cloud, covered the tent of meeting, the Ohel Moed, the tent of the appointment, the tent of the meeting. And that whenever the cloud lifted, the people of Israel, Amo Yisrael, would set out. They would begin their tribe. They would go forward. And whenever it settled, whenever the cloud settled, Ha'am, Jah people, would set up camp. That was the spot there. Cloud technology of Yahweh, of Yahuwah, ain't nothing new. Ha'ilahim further commanded Moshe to make two silver trumpets. Now note this, we're not talking about the shofar. The shofar is the ram's horn. Here we have two silver trumpets that ha-kohanim, the priests, the messiahs, we could say, would use to summon the camp to attention, ring the alarm. So our ringing of the alarm are these two silver trumpets. To rally the troops in battle, ringing the alarm, these two silver trumpets. And to announce appointed feasts and celebrations, ringing the alarm, the two silver trumpets. The Bnei Yisrael, the Israelites, had been at Sinai, for nearly a year before Ha'ilahim, Ha'Elohim, the Elohim, commanded Eloheinu, before our power commanded them to begin their journey through the Midbar. Begin your journey through the desert, back or forward to the promised land. It was at Sinai, that Moshe had first set up the Mishkan, the tabernacle. He levicated, some would say dedicated, we say he levicated the priesthood, the kohuna. He taught Ha'am, the people, the commandments, the mitzvot, right, of HaTorah, the imperatives of the directions and instructions. In the, quote, second year, in the second month, on the 20th day of the month, what we will call Iyar 20. Notice the twos, attention to the twos, the 2022, this year, 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 here, here, here. Second year, in the second month, on the 20th day of the moon of the month, Iyar 20, the cloud lifted from over the Mishkan, and Moshe dispatched the Ark of the Covenant, the Aron HaBarit, to follow after it into the Midbar, into the desert. We get that here, here, here in Numbers chapter 10, verse 33 to verse 36. Now it's interesting here, 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 just to connect some of the dots, coming down to 32 minutes before we go into the grace period. But here, 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 y'all have heard Psalm 68, right? Hopefully. Right? Just the first part of Psalm 68 right here, here, here. Yes, sir. Hear this.
Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah, Yah, Yah.
Now note right there, make God arise, make his enemies be scattered. It's interesting because that's actually the key words, right? That's actually the key words when the ark is moving forward, when the ark is setting out. So we get to Numbers chapter 10. In Numbers chapter 10, it says this right here, here, here. Chapter 10, verse 35, it says, and it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moshe said, rise up, Yahuwah, and let and make thine enemies be scattered, and make them that hate thee flee before thee. Verse 36, and when it, the ark, rested, he said, return, O Yahuwah, to the many thousands of Yisrael, of Yasharallah. Yes, I. So what we have right here is this key word. And so it's interesting when we get to Psalm, you know, we get to Psalm 68 in the opening words, you know.
Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him.
Yes,
as
I, as a smoke. Yes, I. So right here, just going through the overview right here. So Moshe, he then directed Ha'am, the people, to set out, quote, by stages, end quote, by stages, toward the desert of Paran. This is in the Negev, called the Negev. Today, the Negev is the south. First, the eastern camp, led by Yehuda, led by Judah, set out. That was followed by Ha-Lewim, who moved the tabernacle. Then the south camp of Reuben, set out. That was followed by the Kohathites, who carried the tabernacle's furnishing, the sacred holy furnishing, like the menorah, the altar of incense. Then the western camp of Ephraim set out, followed by the north camp of Dan. And Dan. Dan is the rear guard. Dan is like the rear guard. They served as the rear guard. When the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, the Israelites began their journey, began their trod away from Har Sinai, Mount Sinai. Moshe's Chotain, his father-in-law, was invited to join them. Though it is unclear, according to the text, if he actually went along, it seems as though he returned to Midian. The portion then describes that whenever the cloud lifted, the Israelites, we broke camp. Moshe would say before the Ark of the Covenant, Aron HaBrit, arise, Yahuwah, make your enemies be scattered, and make those that hate the eye flee before the eye. And whenever the trod was finished, Moshe would inspect the reassembled tabernacle, and then he would pray, return, O Yahuwah, to the many thousands of Yisrael. After 3 days into their journey, Ha'am, the people, Jah people, the Israelites, they began to do like Israelites do. They began to complain about their hardship. And Yahuwah Jehovah, Ha'elohim, became angry and caused a fire to burn in the outskirts of the Machane, the camp. In addition, the 70 elders of Yisrael were killed, and the fires raged until Moshe interceded on behalf of the nation. This station of the journey was thereafter named Tabera. In the Hebrew means burning, like fire burning. Eish, Tabera, like the fire burning. After that, there was a mixed multitude. Remember them? The mixed multitude, they began to lust after meat, after debtors. And the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, the Israelites, they began weeping for the cuisine that they had enjoyed back in Mitzrayim. They were weeping for the cuisine that they enjoyed in Mitzrayim. Moshe despaired for his life, and he told Ha'elohim, the burden of the people was too much, too enough for him. Ha'el, the Almighty, then instructed him to appoint 70 new elders that would be filled with the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit. This is interesting here, the season check. So Jehovah then instructed Moses to appoint 70 new elders that will be filled with the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, the Memphis Kedus, so they could help bear the burden of leadership. And as for the people's complaints, their itching and moaning about the lack of debtors, you know, like this people are like, oh, where's the fast food stars? Lack of debtors and the boring taste of the manna. You know, we call the manna the Torah reading and teaching. They once find, oh, it's kind of boring, the same thing. Well, you wonder why you're not making the progress. Ha'el, Ha'el promised to send so much meat, so much debtors, because they were complaining for debtors, right, for flesh, for debtors. So Jah promised to send them so much debtors that it would, quote, come out of their nostrils. Ha'el, Ha'el then caused an enormous, a gigantic flock of quails to begin falling from the sky around the camp, the Machaneh, that Ha'am, the people, when he saw that, they began to gather and cook and a feast. However, while the, quote, meat, the debtors was yet between their teeth, the quail became a plague. And many of the Bnei Yisrael, many of the sons of Israel, many of the Israelites died. They were dead up. This station of the tribe of the journey was thereafter named the graves of craving, the graves of lust, the graves of lusting, or in the Hebrew, the Kivrot Hata'awa. The Kivrot Hata'awa, some would say the Kivrot Hata'awa. Modern Hebrew, the Kivrot HaTa'ava, the ancient Afro-Semitic pointing, the Kivrot HaTa'awa, the graves, Kivrot HaTa'awa, HaTa'awa, of lusting, of craving, cravenous, gravelicious, cravenous. Now after this, the Bnei Yisrael, the Israelites, they set out to a place that was called Chazerot. What is Chazerot? Chazerot is enclosures, right? The Chazerot could also be courts, but in this case, enclosures. They set out to a place called Chazerot, enclosures, where Aaron and his sister Mary, they privately slandered Moshe and his leadership. Moses and his leadership was slandered by Aaron and Miriam privately. Mary, not only questioned Moshe's decision, some say to leave Ishto, to leave his wife, his Eshet, his Oset, but also questioned his unique role as the mediator of Habarit, the mediator of the covenant at Sinai. Ha'el, the power, the Almighty, then instructed Moshe, Aharon, and Miriam to come to Hamishkan, where he descended, he descended, in a pillar of cloud. Yahuwah, Jehovah then called Aharon and Miriam forward, and he warned them that Moshe was uniquely chosen to be the leader of Yisrael, of Israel. Since Ha'el, the Almighty spoke to him plainly, and only Moshe was permitted to behold the likeness. Only Moses was permitted to behold the temuna, the likeness in Hebrew, as man was created in his image after his likeness. In the Hebrew, we call this the temuna. Temuna is like a likeness, a temuna. So only Moshe was permitted to behold the temuna of Yahuwah himself, Atzmo, himself. When the pillar of cloud then ascended, when he aliyah up, said Elohim, he went up. When he aliyah up, Moshe, right, Aaron and Miriam was left there. But only Miriam was left with Tzara'at. What is Tzara'at? Often translated as leprosy or skin disease. What was the Tzara'at? the skin disease called leprosy was the punishment for the Lashon Hara, for the evil speech, for the Lashon, the tongue, Ha, the Ra'a, the evil, for the evil, for the ill, the bad, the hurtful, the unkind tongue, the evil speech of Miriam. Now, despite Moses and Aaron's intercession for her, for their sister, for Miriam, however, Yahuwah, Jehovah, banished Miriam from the camp, from the Machane, for 7 days, Shabbat Yamin, for 7 days. After that time, she was brought back, she was brought forth again. And Yahuwah and Jehovah directed her arm, directed Jah people further into the desert, into the Midbar of Paran. So here, brothers and sisters and brothers, the synopsis here for this 36th sabbatical study for Shabbat, Bihailotika. Interesting point that segues here with the harvest observance, even the harvest, the irritical, the spirit harvesting here in the upper room of Zion. Interesting link is the 70 new elders that were to be appointed, who were to be filled with the Ruach HaKadosh, with the Holy Spirit, with the Spirit of the Holy One. It's very, very interesting here, with the Holy Spirit in the upper room of Zion. Here we got 19 minutes right here, on the podcast right here before we go into the grace period. We have a psalm. We have a psalm, a psalm, a psalm, a psalm. Psalm, today's daily psalm right here. So the psalm right then was Psalm 8 in that record right there. But here for the first day, here's the first day service. The psalm is actually 48. But first, B.B. James right here, just on that last point there about Miriam and Aaron and what they would say. They was talking here. Here, look, a segue. Very much soon. Yeah. Keep them talking.
Musical needs.
They don't gonna say I just see no
yeah, yeah. Let them talk, let them talk. Little Rhema tune from Moshe right there with his sister and his brother. Right, let's get into this right here. Here, some Q&A's right here, some Q&A's, questions and answers right here. There's a couple of different directions you can go right here once you become familiar with the Torah reading and feedings, both the shadow here in the Brit Hayashana and what's called the Old Testament or in the Hebrew scriptures, and how the true substance in the Brit Chadash. A couple of directions. One of them we would like to go into is the so-called Star of David. There's a lot of different philosophies and ideas and ideologies and also some idolatries too concerning the so-called Star of David. But the connection is really with HaMenorah. The pattern of the so-called Star of David has to do with HaMenorah. The menorah is a lampstand falsely called in the King James versions and other versions candlesticks. Make an emphasis on that right there because of the oil connection with the shadow, with the pattern, and with the substance. The Holy Spirit is likened, spirit is likened to oil, and the Holy Spirit, that pure olive oil beaten, as elsewhere it says, for the light, to light the light. So here, let's get into this, and hopefully we'll have time to, you know, build more on the connection that we see between the pattern of the Hebrew snowflake. You know, check it out, the Hebrew snowflake, if you have water, right, and certain sounds and vibrations make different patterns. Harmonious sounds make harmonious patterns, and one of those patterns is what they call the Star of David that's found in water and also in creation. Check out a beehive for a moment. But right here, some basics right here. For Shabbat B'Halotika, Bamarinya in the Book of the Seven Seals, the King of Kings Bible, for Senbet Sitalequis. Question number one here for the study, six sabbatical study, Shabbat Strong, some of the basic questions. Question one, what does the Hebrew word B'Halotika, 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 what does the word, the Hebrew word B'Halotika, Ha'alotika mean, chaberim? It means to raise up, to offer. It's from the Hebrew verb Allah, Allah. Now, Allah should not be confused with the Hebrew Allah, Allah, Allah. So the hard and soft sounds matter, but here from the Hebrew verb Allah, Allah means to ascend, Allah, as we have the Aliyah. You know, we speak about the aliyah, the ascension, the up offerings, and also the burnt offering, the olot, olot from the Allah root right there. So, biha elotika, raise up in the sense of to offer, to lift up, to raise up from Allah, to ascend. It's used in reference here to the flames of ha menorah, of the lampstand. So the King James Version says, when thou lightest the lamps, Hebraically, biha elotika, when you step up or when you lightest up. So the connection is both to the stepping up to that service and to causing the flames of ha menorah, the lampstand to ascend. Question number two, what special mitzvah, African Shemitic pointing mitzvah, modern Hebrew pointing mitzvah. What special mitzvah was given to Aharon, to Aaron in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle? Well, Aaron was given the honor of preparing and lighting and keeping lit ha menorah, the lampstand, every day. Question number three. How was HaMenorah, the lampstand, kindled within HaMishkan, within the tabernacle? HaMenorah, the menorah, had seven, quote, boat-like or boat-shaped lamps. In some, getting into the Hebrew, this is brought out by the sense of the use of the word almond, right? Boat-shaped lamps, one for each branch. Now notice there were three on this side and three on that side. Count them, right? Three on this side, three on that side, the branches. But then there was the center branch. But the three on this side, three on that side, remember the connection there with the shape of the Hebrew snowflake, a.k.a. called Star David and Magen David, right? But here, how menorah had seven boat-shaped lamps, one for each branch, and each lamp was filled with the purest oil, olive oil. Now the wicks were positioned by either bending them toward the center. So we get into the direct instruction in HaTorah, right? There's seven lamps, so there's three on this side, three on that side. Three on this side of what? Three on that side of what? So when we look at the so-called Star of David, right, in that sense, you see they say six coins, six. No, there's only six there. There's not six, there's only six. You know what I mean? Even with the so-called Star of David, there's only six. But that's the top-down view of HaMenorah, right there. Three on this side and three on that side. And the Shamesh in the Hebrew is the sun, that center branch, So the wicks were positioned by either bending them toward the center, the Shamesh, or by clasping them down between the bowl and the cover. Aharon, he lit the lamps daily. As the scripture says, from the Erev to the Boker, from the evening to the morning, from the right to the left, according to the instructions we have in the second book of Moshe, Hebrew book called Exodus, the Sefer Shemot. We have Exodus chapter 27, verse 21. Remember, three on this side, three on that side. So there were like basically the six branches that came out from the center shaft. Question number four. What miracle, what amazing thing was associated with HaMenorah? What amazing thing? Well, each lamp held about 9 ounces of the purest oil olive, squeezed or beaten, prepared, sufficient to burn throughout the night, the Laila. Now, according to one ancient teaching, Shabbat 22b, while all the lamps receive the same amount of oil olive or olive oil, the so-called westernmost lamp, according to some like Rashi and others, which is ones will say the center lamp due to its orientation, never ran out of oil, even though it was kindled first in the sequence. When Aharon would rekindle the lamps every evening, he found the Shamash, which is the center branch, the center shaft, still burning. Now, the Shamash in Hebrew also is the sun. That's the center one, the center staff. So the center staff, three on this side, three on that side. Take heed to the pattern recognition. Question number five. Why were the Lewim or the Levites chosen to be the servants and to serve, to do the Avodah at HaMishkan? Why were the Levites, HaLewim, chosen to serve at the tabernacle? Question five. Because the firstborn sons, the Banim, the sons of the other tribes, the 12 tribes, were responsible for the chet, the sin, the falling short, the missing the mark, the uckery, the lack of the molten calf, pseudonymously, right, falsely called the golden calf, scripturally the molten calf, the egel masekah. Yahuwah then chose HaLewim, chose the Levites to serve in their place. So before the molten calf, when Yahuwah says that all of Israel, he says that all of Israel, right, he wanted Israel to be a nation of the priests. That means that all of the tribes, all the firstborn sons had an opportunity. After the molten calf that ancient right and opportunity of the firstborn sons of a family, of a tribe, among them to offer the offerings for the family was revoked and was exclusively given to those in the Berit, in the covenant to Levi. So before that, any of the among them could just like, you know, offer offering as the patriarchs did. After that time, it was only through the tribe of Levi. If they want to be in good standing in the covenant, they would have to go to the tribe of Levi, right, and particularly to the sons of Aharon for their offering to be acceptable. So this is a major, the Egel Masekah, this is when they had broke the covenant. And then after Moshe went up and he interceded, then it was renewed. So basically we have the principle of the Brit Chadasha, the new covenant, even in the old covenant. Because once they broke it, right, basically the covenant was broken. It was Moshe's intercession, his advocacy, right, and appeal, right, that caused it to be renewed, right, after the molten calf incident. But the Levites still were then chosen to be the servants. Remember when Moshe came down, he said, who's on Yahuwah's side? He didn't say, who's on my side? Who's on Yahuwah's side? And it was only those of the tribe of Levi that could respond. What do we say? Guiltiness rested upon the 12 tribes' consciousness and only the tribe of Levi. I know ones will say, well, if it's 12 tribes there, I know you thought it was only 12. Well, yes, it's 12, the 12. The 12th tribe of Levi, right, is also a tribe. So literally there were 13 tribes because Levi, as the Torah says, was not to be counted in the number. Well, you say, well, how do we get these two other tribes? Have you not read where Jacob, the patriarch, said to Yosef that these two, Ephraim and Manasseh, are mine? You know what I mean? Are mine. So he included Ephraim and Manasseh, and also Joseph is not a tribe in that sense. You know, he becomes two tribes. Moving forward right here, question number six. Are Halloween, the Luim in the Hebrew, Levim, Luim, the Levites, the priests of Yasharal of Yisrael, are the Levites? This is a common mistake right here. Right? Ones, what would you say? Are the Levites the priests of Israel? Answer, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Remember the principle? All of the priests of Yisrael, according to Torah, according to the Hebrew Bible, all the priests, right, are Levites, but not all the Levites are priests. So are the Levites the priests of Israel? Not necessarily. There were three clans of Halloween, of the Levites, the Gershoni, Merari, and Kohati. There were the Gershonites, the Merarites, and the Kohathites. But only those Kohathites of the Kohath tribe who descended from Aharon, who descended from Aaron, were qualified to be HaKohanim, to be the priests, or more correctly, the anointed, the Messiah priest, because they had to be anointed. HaElohim gave the other Levites as a, quote, gift. Read in the Torah, he gives the other tribes and the other Levites, rather the other Levites, as a gift to Aharon u'Banayo and to his sons for helping maintain the Mishkan, the tabernacle, and for helping offer and prepare the offering of the sacrifices on behalf of Amo, Yisrael, Amo, the people, his people, Yisrael. So while all the priests, the Kohanim, are Levim, are Levites, not all of the Levites are Kohanim. Question number seven, how were Halloween, the Levites, dedicated, livicated, consecrated for the Avodah, for the Avodah, for the service at the Mishkan? How were they dedicated or consecrated? To say, how were they filled, right? Question number seven, firstly, they were sprinkled with the water of purification, also called the water of lustration, the water of purification. Then they shaved off all their hair. They were immersed in a mikweh. Mikweh Afro-Shemitic pointing modern Hebrew mikveh, 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 a mikveh. Mikveh is like a pool, right, type of, from the kawa, kawa, right, and donned, and they put on clean garments. The people, amo, the people, amo, Yisrael, the people of Israel, the rank and file, you say, Israelites, then, quote, laid hands on their rosh, their heads, roshim, on their rosses, on their heads. This is known as the semicha, 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 semicha. Now, I often point out that you look at the Hebrew letter samech and the hand sign of his majesty, you know, where you have the two hands coming together at the index finger and the thumbs, and this is how one would lay a hand, the two hands on the offering, you know, when he lay the two hands on the offering to confess what they, you know, the reason for the season, you know, as it were. But they would lay their hands, the people lay their hands on the heads of the priests, the semicha, and Aharon, quote, waved the tenufah, literally as one would have a gift, and they would wave it before the tabernacle, like you say, like up, down, and from left to right, symbolizing the four cardinal points before the Ohel Moed. So did Aharon wave them. Wave, I mean, he picked them up and he waved them, lifnei Yahuwah, before Jehovah, to say, before the tabernacle, standing in front of the door of the tabernacle, before the Ark of the Covenant. That is the tabernacle sense of before the Lord, right? Before Yahuwah, like newborn children. Finally, sacrifices. The final part was the sacrifices that were offered to purify them for Avoda, for the Avoda, for the Avoda, for the service. Question number 8. At what age did Ha-Luim, did the Levites, begin their service in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle square, the tabernacle space? At what age? According to the Torah, at age 25. They could serve until age 50, after which they became guards and singers. They would become like guards, singers, and like elders. They don't do the literal heavy lifting, right, as they would between the ages of 25 to 50. At the age of 50 and after, they became like guards, singers, you know, the singers and players of instruments in the temple time, but they would become like the elders to instruct the youngins that would come forward. They no longer were required to do the heavy lifting. Remember, the other Levites, they would carry the various different items to prepare them, you know? But here, at the age of 50, they would go from that heavy lifting service, become guards, singers, elders at the tabernacle. Where do we have this? We have this in Numbers chapter 8, verses 23 to 26, to bring that out. Question number 9, what were the, quote, waters of purification, end quote? Some versions say waters of lustration. What was the waters of purification used, right, to cleanse Halloween? They were the water that was mixed with the ashes of the para aduma, the para, the heifer, female, the female bovine or the cow, aduma, the red, aduma, red, para aduma, the red heifer, or like we say, you know, the red hathor, so to speak, the red heifer, right, the para aduma, used to cleanse from contact with mavet, with mawet, maut, moat, with death. Question number 10, why were the Levites, Halloween, the Lewawiyan, required to shave off all their hair and be immersed in water, the mikveh, the kind of like a baptism? This is where the symbol of baptism, the mikveh, a pool of water, immersed in water before they could serve at the tabernacle. Why? Some say, right, perhaps, this is like a reasonment one's often asked, but from study of the scripture, one of the better answers is perhaps to suggest, quote, spiritual rebirth, spiritual rebirth. But the Levites had to have all of their hair, right, shaved off during this time of consecration, right, for initiation for their service. Question number 11. When did Eloheinu tell Moshe that Amo, Yisrael, the people of Israel, were to observe Pesach, Passover in the Midbar, in the wilderness, in the desert? On the first day of the first month. Answer, on the first day of the first month, the first moon of the second year, 2 weeks before the anniversary of the Exodus, according to Numbers chapter 9, verse 1. This is when, right, Yah told Moses to tell the people that they were to observe Passover, Pesach, right, in the Midbar in the desert on the first day of the first month of the second year, 2 weeks before the anniversary of the Exodus. Question number 12. Why did Eloheinu, our power almighty, allow for a, quote, second chance, end quote? Why did Jah allow for a second chance Pesach, a second chance Passover celebration? Did you know there's a second chance in order, if you don't observe it in that first moon, right, then in the second moon at the very same time, you have a second chance. Why? If someone was legitimately, that means according to what HaTorah, Jah's direction instruction says, right, to keep it legit, was legitimately unable to observe Pesach, Passover, on the 14th day of the first moon at twilight, was given the opportunity to observe it a moon later, according to lunar solar calendar, a month later on the 14th day of the second month, the second moon at twilight. This is known as the Pesach Sheni, the Pesach Passover Sheni, the second Passover. Question number 13, could a stranger, the Hebrew word here uses gir, right? Could a gir, a stranger, observe the Pesach, the Passover? Yes, a stranger, gir, could observe the Passover. Yes, king. There was one ordinance. Well, it says one ordinance, order, one ordinance for the stranger, right, and for those born in the land, for the homie and those who have joined themselves to he who be who he be. According to Exodus chapter 9, verse 14. Question 14. After the event recorded in this parsha, this portion, right, are the events recorded in this Torah portion right here for Hilotica, are they in chronological order? Answer, no, they are not. In other words, the events that are recorded in this Torah portion are not in chronological order. The book of Numbers, the Sefer Bamidbar, the Hebrew refers to as the book in the wilderness, right? But from what goes on in the first chapters later on, we get like in the Septuagint and other numberings of the numbers. A lot of numbers are here. But the book of Numbers begin with the statement that Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, quote, on the first day of the second month in the second year after they had come out of the land of Mitzrayim, the two lands, the Semitawi, right? Pseudonymously called Kemet, but the more correct name from the ancient point of view was the two lands, right? And thus we have in the Hebrew Mitzrayim, emphasizing the two lands, the land of Egypt. So that's the first thing, right, that we have. But the events described in Numbers chapter 9, verse 1, are said to occur, quote, in the first month of the second year, right? In the first month of the second year. So we compare here Numbers chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, and Numbers chapter 9, verses 1 to 5. Moreover, the events describing how the cloud covered the tent of meeting were also described right at the end of the second book, the book of Exodus. Question number 15. When did the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, the Israelites, leave Har Sinai, Mount Sinai? When did they leave? They left in the second year, in the second month, on the 20th day of the month, about a year after they first arrived there. Question number 16. Who was this one known as Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite? Who was Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite? Some say that he was either the son of Yitro, Jethro, Moshe's chotein, his father-in-law, or others say that he might have been Yitro, Jethro himself. Now, note this, that his Midianite father-in-law, the Ethiopian Hebrew connection is there, but that he had a few names. He was the priest of Midian. Note that Reuel, the name Reuel, 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 Seol, El, God, Reuel, right, in one form, but here the Reuel means at first like a friend. The friend of El, the friend of El. Very interesting name, right? The main meaning is friend of El, but when we look at the Hebrew, you know, there's another similar sounding, you know, sound to that that can be like seeing God. But here, Reuel, friend of El, friend of God. Now, question number 17. More on that as we move forward, but question number 17. Moses' in-law is there. Question 17, how did the people, Amo Yisrael, the people of Israel, how did they know when Ha'elohim, the Elohim, sought them, right, wanted them to travel? And how did they know when Jah wanted them to stop? How would they know? Question number 17. Well, when the cloud, Ha'anan, the cloud covering the Mishkan, the tent, right, they encamped. When it lifted, they traveled. And when it stopped, it hovered on a space, they knew what was there, that they were to set up the camp. And everything was grounded and founded on the foundation in the holy place. So the first thing was the holy place had to be established, you know, the holy place. And then around that, right, the Levites in the camp. And then around the holy place, right, the 12 tribes, and then, you know, everyone else around them, and the mixed multitude toward the edges, right, the extreme, the corners, we could say, of the camp. Question number 18, what protected the Bnei Yisrael, the Israelites, as they traveled, as they trotted, and what led the way? Once again, right here, the 18th question, the clouds of glory, referred to as the clouds of glory, they surrounded the camps. And Ha-Aron, the Aron Ha-Barit, Aron, the Ark of the Covenant, Aron Ha-Barit, it traveled, right, 3 days, right? It says in the scripture, it traveled 3 days ahead of them. So the cloud and the Ark traveled, right, 3 days ahead of them. Question number 19. Before Ha-Aron, the Aron, Ark is called Aron, the man is called Ahiron. Before the Ark, Ha-Aron was dispatched by the Kohati, by the Kohathites. What would Moses pray? What would he pray and what would he say? He would say, arise, Uma Yahweh, arise, O Jehovah, and let your enemies be scattered, and make those that hate the eye flee before the eye. We have this in Numbers chapter 10, verse 35. And also what's very interesting about this too is that this is also what we have in Psalm we have Psalm 68. Right? Psalm 68, that seems to recount the wilderness trod and the wilderness journey. We have this same, like the same password. Hear the password.
Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah,
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 and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless, and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families, he bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land.
But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. So who causes famine? God or man? Chance. Question, all right? Question number 19. So before the ark was dispatched by the Kohathites, the Kohathites, Moses would say those words, "Arise, O Yahuwah, may your enemies be scattered." Now, of course, in the Psalm 68, which is used for congregational purposes, right, the Hashem, you know, we have to touch on the Hashem, at least back then. Right, not everyone really just said the Hashem because of the word, you know, that was said. In times of prayer, yes, you know, in times of the holy place, yes, but because Moshe, the priest, and others, remember that his name is holy. So who were the ones authorized at that time for such utterance? So that's one of the reasons why we have Yahuwah here in Numbers chapter 10, verse 35, and then in Psalm 68, right, we have Elohim. Right, but still is referring to Yahuwah Eloheinu, he who be who he be, our Elohim. Shema Yisrael, Yahuwah Eloheinu, Yahuwah Echad. Hear, O Israel, he who be who he be, our Elohim, he who be who he be, the one. Question number 20. What camp moved first when the Israelites tried it, when they would travel? What camp moved first? Well, the camp of Yehuda. The camp of Judah moved first. This included the camps of Issachar, called by others Isachar, but we don't have a ch sound in the Hebrew. Issachar, and Zebulun. So along with the camp of Yehuda, Judah's camp, right, he was the head of the camps of Issachar and Zebulun. But when the camps moved first, it would be the standard of the tribe of Yehuda. Judah. Question number 21. Which two clans of Halloween of the Levites were to carry the tabernacle when it moved? Which two camps? Question 21. It was the Gershonites. They moved the tent and the courtyard materials. And the Merarites, they carried the wooden beams, etc. The two clans followed the path of Yehuda, of Judah, which was led by the Aron HaBrit. So in other words, when they move forward, it would be, you know, Judah would move forward first, but that's after the cloud started to move forward, and after the ark. When the cloud moves, the ark has to move with it. And then the tribe of Judah would follow along as a rear guard of the ark, and then we would have the two clans, the Gershonites and the Merarites, following them. When they arrived at a new resting place, they set up the Mishkan, the tabernacle, for the Kohathites to come and place the sacred furnishings, the sacred furnishing. Question number 22. Which clan carried the furnishings of the sanctuary? Of the tent, of the holy place. Whatever was in the tent, the Ohel Moed, the tent of congregation, tent of meeting, it was the Kohathites. The Kohathites who followed the second camp of Reuben, of Reuben, and were therefore protected on all sides. They were protected on all sides, trotting through the wilderness. Question number 23. Why did Ha Elohim, why did Yahuwah instruct Moses to make two silver trumpets? The Chatzat wrote. The Chatzat wrote the silver here. Not speaking about the ram's horn, but the silver. The silver, these two silver trumpets. The priest, Ha Kohanim, used them, these two silver trumpets, to summon the camps, to call the leaders, the princes, the leaders, to the tabernacle, to lead the charge in battles, and to convoke or to call together the holy assemblies for Ha'am, for Amo Yisrael, for the people of Israel. So they had these different functions, the two silver trumpets. Question 24, when the cloud stopped moving above Ha'aron, the ark, Moshe understood that the people had reached a new camp location. Location, location, location. What did Moshe say then when after the tabernacle was reassembled? Because the ark had to wait, right, for the spot where the cloud was, where they'll set up where the cloud was. And then Moses would say what? Say what? You say return. Return, shub, Yahweh, shub, return or turn, return, O he who be, who he be, to the 10,000 thousands of Yasharala, of Yisrael, according to Numbers chapter 10, verse 36. Question number 25. What happened 3 days after the camps left Har Sinai and left the Sinai? What happened 3 days? 3 days, just 3 days. Well, the people, Amo, the people of Yisrael, complained. And what did Eloheinu do? Yahuwah, Jehovah sent a fire. He sent Aish, Itzat, fire that killed, that deaded on many, according to the scripts, quote, many that were at the edge of the camps. It is likely that the original 70 elders, right, the Zakanim, the Ziknei Yisrael, it's likely that they also, right, were killed, since Moshe was instructed later after that to select 70 more elders. Now this place, right, because of this fire burning of Yahuwah, right, was called Tab Era. That has a sense of kindling fires, spark and kindling fire. Tab Era. Like you say, fire burn. In other words, Tab Era. Right? Boom. So here, question number 26. Who are the, according to the Hebrew, the Erev Rav? Modern Hebrew, Rev Rav. Ones might say the Rev Rav, right? Who are the Rev Rav? The Rev Rav. The Rev Rav were the mixed multitude. The Rev Rav were the mixed multitude who had left with the Bnei Yisrael during the Exodus from Mitzrayim, right? They are that mixed multitude. Now, there's that audible we shared a little bit earlier, right, from our brother Moshe Ben Levi Ben Levi, a.k.a. Brother Shine Poe, just a little bit of it right here. We see about the Erev Rav, you know, in our consummation with our relationship with Hashem. You know, we could be like the Rev Rav and the Rasha, like the mixed multitude and the wicked, is what he's saying here.
The consummation of my relationship with Hashem. Because when you go through difficulties, you can be like some of the Rev Rav and the Rasha, where they want to turn against Moshe, and they want to say, oh, man, Hashem brought us here to die, and they give up. The consummation of my relationship with Hashem. Because when you go through difficulties, you can be like some of the Rev Rav and the Rasha, where they want to turn against Moshe, and they want to say, oh man, Hashem brought us here to die, and they give up. Or you can be like the Levites who killed their mothers, their father, sister, anybody who was rolling with, you know, what Am Yisrael was supposed to be rolling with. But what
Mr. said, ask good. The Rev Rav with a mixed multitude. Those were others who left with the Israelites. On some level, the spirituality, they were Hebrew or Hebrewish, because Hebrew refers to the spirituality of the patriarchs. But they left along with the Israelites during the exodus from Mitzrayim. Question number 27. Some of Amo Yisrael lusted after the so-called, quote, good life, the good life of Mitzrayim of Egypt, especially for what? Especially for what? Well, basically, for the cuisine of Mitzrayim, of Sematawi, of Kemet, the cuisine. They talk about, quote, free fish, really, cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. Question number 28. What is manna? Manna. Actually, in the Hebrew, in this first occurrence, it's called manhu. Ma, you know, it's almost like saying like what? Ma, what? Who? Like what is it or what is he? Known as the manna. The manna is the bread from Shemayim, the bread from the heavens, that looked like coriander seed and tasted in proportion to the measure of one's faith. So it's brought out that it, but how it tasted was based on one's faith. You know what I mean? So ones that, you know, didn't really have too much faith, it got tired of it easy. Others, it was almost like to say, you know how like tofu and certain things like that don't really have a taste to it, but it can be very nutritious. You know, depends on the faith and the work, you know, because faith without work is... Question number 29. When it became apparent that the complaints of Ha'am, of the people, of even Jah people, the Israelite people, were too much, too enough for Moshe to handle alone, what did Ha'ilehim, what did Yahuwah do? Well, he told Moshe to select 70 new, notice the new ones, 70 new elders of the people whom Jah would empower, Yahuwah would empower by the Ruach HaKadosh, by the Holy Spirit, to help and to assist him. Question number 30. When Jah told Moshe to tell Ha'am, the people, that tomorrow they would eat meat, they would get the flesh and the debtors they've been craving for. Moshe, what did Moses ask Yah? He said, how is this possible? What did Yahuwah Jehovah say in reply? He told Moshe, he who be, Yah, told Moshe that his arm, the ro'o, was not shortened, that he could not provide meat, food, quote, until it came out of their nostrils. Question number 31. How did Jah regard the tears of self-pity? You get that part there? The tears of self-pity by the Israelites? That's how we know who are the descendants of those Israelites in this day and time. We do the same thing, people. The tears of self-pity that was shed by the Bnei Yisrael. Well, he regarded the people's complaint and their desire, could express a desire to return to Mitzrayim, to return to Kemet. He regarded it as a personal, Yahuwah, he who be who he be, took that personal, as a personal rejection of him. Question number 32, who were Eldad and Medad, right? Who were Eldad, right, and Medad? They were two of the 70 elders who remained in the camp, and they were not present at the tabernacle when Yahuwah poured out the Holy Spirit upon the new leaders. Yehoshua, he asked Moshe to forbid them from prophesying, from the prophecy and prophesizing. But Moshe, he argued that it was a good thing. It's a good thing that they prophesied. And he wished that all
of Jah people would do likewise. And we pointed out the little error in the translation where it says that they ceased not, but actually they did cease. And it was only Eldad and Medad that continued. Question number 33. What was the sin, the ukri, the chet, falling short, the lack? What was the lack of Miriam that caused her to become a mitzora, right? A mitzora, one skin disease or leper that was exiled from the camp. It was the Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara. The Lashon Hara. Right? Lashon is tongue. Hara is the evil tongue. Lashon Hara. It was a Lashon Hara. She questioned Moshe's treatment of Eshto, Esheto, or Seto, of his wife, his Kushawit, his Ethiopian wife. Right? She questioned that. And Moshe's role as Yisrael, Yasharala's mediator of the Berit, of Ha-Berit, when it's obvious that if it wasn't for Moshe praying, interceding, you know, they would have been cut off, right? And many other instances of Moshe being the mediator, where Moses said, hey, listen, come into a thick cloud of darkness, the people pull back, right? And they say, no, Moses, you go whatever you hear. So the people basically chose him as the mediator, and Yah said that was a good thing. But here, Miriam got the Lashon Hara, the evil tongue. Right, the rah-rah tongue, hurtful, unkind tongue. She questioned his Ethiopian wife, his treatment of his Isha, his Eshet, his Orset, and also Moshe's role as Yisrael's mediator of the covenant. And it's obvious Yah did not like that very much. But question number 34, if both Aharon and Miriam sinned or lacked, why was only Miriam punished, one might ask? Good question here. Well, many of the sages, they say that it was Miriam who spoke the words. Though Aaron consented by listening. You know that way there, someone else is like insulting somebody. You're like, yeah, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but, and he's going on. You're like, you don't tell him, hey, stop that, stop. But you kind of, you know, that's the Aaron. Right, the Aaron right there. She spoke the words. Moses consented by listening. Right? Perhaps Aharon was not punished, just as he wasn't punished for the ukri of the molten calf, because it is said he was a peacemaker who always gave, right, the benefit of the doubt to others. Interesting, him being chosen to be a kind of a first high priest, first anointed for Yisrael. Here, 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 brothers and sisters, there are like a couple more questions, but these are advanced questions. You know, Yotzeh Hashem, Yotzeh Yahuwah, if Jehovah will, in the forward, we'll get into a couple more of these right here in the forward. But right here, looking at the time right here, I'd like to put forward the Sabbath seal psalm, Psalm 144, also the Baraka for a new Shabuah coming forward. And also, you know, the Psalm 67 right here,
Psalm 144. Yes. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord.
Shavua, referring to the week, or more correctly, like the seven days to come.
There's this question here, where do we get the custom? Sometimes we'll say, im yaseh, Yah, if Yah will, im yaseh, Yahweh, if Jehovah wills, im yaseh, Hashem. If the name wills. You know, in Numbers chapter 9, verse 20, it says that the Israelites traveled at the command, really in the Hebrew, at the mouth of Yahweh, at his mouth. When we plan to do something, we should always say, if it pleases Hashem, if it pleases Yah, if Yah wills and with Yah's help. Brother James, Jacob, in James chapter 4, verse 13 to 16, brings that out. So, im yaseh Hashem im yaseh Yah, im yaseh Yahweh. If Jehovah wills, we'll pick up in the forward. Yeshua shalom. Here. Yes, I. Rastafari. Psalm 67.
Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That thy way may be known upon earth, by saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health, thy saving health, thy saving health. Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously, and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him, 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 God be merciful unto us and bless us. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Psalm 67, Sabbath seal, and beginning off a new Shavua, Shavua Tov, Shavua Tov, Shavua Tov, a good Shavua, 7 days to come, by Shem Yeshua HaMoshiach, name of the King of Kings Christ. Shalom, Chabarim, Shalom, be well.